Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Kids, listen to your mother.
Mom.
Welcome to Between Us Moms with Katie Crafts-Morg and Hallie Stevens-Drake.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Between Us Moms. We are so grateful, as always, that you join us for these 30 minutes every Tuesday and Friday. We want to get right into it. So Hal, do you want to kick us off with your cliff notes?
I do. I'm mother of the year. So if there's a place to vote,
voting now.
Vote now. Dylan loves to get into our drawers, our bathroom vanity. If there is a place she can go explore, you can count on her to open it, explore to the fullest. And most recently was yesterday, where she got into Andrew's nightstand and found a box she was very interested in and came running up to us saying, open, open. And it was KY jelly.
Wow.
Yeah. Love. Let me tell you, you can't unsee your almost two-year-old holding a box of KY jelly. And that was...
I don't know why that visual just like very vividly popped up in my...
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when she gets fixated on something, it's hard. She's a little tenacious, tiny being, and she wanted to open that KY. So we took it away and it was like, no, this is for mommy and daddy. And yes, if you're asking, you guys use KY, not every time, but sometimes it's fun to mix it up. It has a little warming action and that's nice sometimes. So yes, we have KY. We have lube. We try it sometimes and it feels good. No shame in my sex game. But
ours is like a strawberry flavored one.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to really share details, but I will refrain.
Isn't that myself. What we do here? Divulge.
We use mostly for like, you know, if you're on your period and you can't do it, or right now I'm pregnant. And so it's more of like for the hand action.
So it doesn't have to be flavored unless it does.
Unless it does. Anyways, strawberry flavored.
Does it taste good?
Yeah. Got it on Amazon. It was like $10.
Great.
And Jason refers to it as the stuff.
The stuff. But you know what? Good on you for even attempting a hand job. I mean,
I think I've perfected it now.
Oh, see, my thought on a hand job has always been
they can do it better.
These boys have grown up giving themselves hand jobs their entire lives. So why would I get in there and assume I could do it better? I've never once even attempted.
Right.
So good on you. If you feel like you perfected it, that's good job.
He seems to like them. So
bravo. A mama and a hand job wizard. Love it. But yeah.
Episode really has gone a different way than I knew it was going to go.
Right. We're 3 minutes in and we have really gone to the dark side.
All right. So Dylan discovered the KY and
he
kindly remove from her hand.
Well, you would think the story ended there, but it got to the point where she was so upset that we wouldn't give her the box and open it that we were like, well, I guess we open this. And so we opened it and she played with it. And she's in this phase where she does a lot of pretend play, loves to feed her babies. So she took the KY bottle and was feeding her baby doll like it was a milk bottle. She was feeding her baby KY. So mother of the year. That has officially been locked up in a high off the ground, out of reach location. So hopefully we will not encounter another baby KY situation, but that's my cliff notes. So Katie, top that.
Okay. So I'm going to go real Martha Stewart on you.
Ooh,
I'm
going to
take
that.
This a completely different direction. I have a little story to tag on from what you just mentioned is that last night we had dinner with my parents and we were talking about the TikTok ban and all this stuff. And I will say that, so my mom is a teacher and she said a bunch of her students are like, do you know how much pornography is on TikTok? What? And my mom was like, no, I'm shocked. And she's like, yeah, it's like the 9th and 10th grade year old boys are like telling me this. And Jason to my parents was like, I would have loved to discover that in 10th grade.
Right. They were like watching scrambled, you know, channel, whatever, to try and catch some sort of glimpse
I was like, thanks, Jason, for sharing that with my parents. My Martha Stewart story is that I am now a person who washes strawberries in baking soda and ice cold water. Yeah. I have never done that before. I thought it was loco, like to the extreme, but now my Instagram algorithm is all these like Dirty Dozen posts. And I'm like, wow, strawberries are effing filthy.
Yep.
And so this morning, and Kaya loves strawberries. I love strawberries. And so I literally washed my strawberries in an ice cold bowl of water with my baking soda. And 15 minutes later, I went back to check and ick, the water is like tainted ever so slightly. It's not like it's brown, but it's definitely tainted. And then you can see the little like strawberry hairs everywhere. You can also see how bruised the strawberries really are and what the pesticides are actually doing to make them appear fresher than they are. My mind was blown.
If you want to go next level, because I've been on this bandwagon ever since Dylan started eating solids as well, things get like super washed in our house. Add vinegar. I was skeptical because I was like, is that going to make our food taste like vinegar?
Yeah, but does it make it taste?
No, it doesn't. But
you
it does
afterwards.
Yeah. And it really does the trick. But you also, speaking of Martha Stewart, are Martha Stewart because you have a full-blown garden in your backyard and you guys should just start growing your own because then you know.
I was actually just saying I wish we could grow strawberries. So we actually have already prepped our lettuces, cabbage, red lettuce, and kale. And then we have gotten – so San Marzano tomatoes are exponentially better than regular tomatoes. Do you know this?
Never heard of it.
Okay, so a San Marzano tomato, it's generally used to make sauces, but what's special about them is that when you take a bite into a San Marzano tomato, this is a hot tip for everybody, there's no acidic after bite taste like most tomatoes give you. So I learned this, it's like really what they use in Italy a lot, like they're all San Marzano tomatoes, but they go like hotcakes at the Green Thumb Nursery where we like to frequent on a weekend. So we're growing our San Marzanos and then we'll go back and get like our heirloom tomatoes and a bunch of other ones, but we love gardening. And yeah, we do like to eat fresh, although it's harder to grow certain things like carrots. Can't grow them. They're too hard to pick. They're so dirty. They're hard to wash, but we grow zucchini, cucumbers. We don't even like cucumbers, but we like the look of them. Spaghetti squash. Yeah. Tomatoes galore. Peppers, a million peppers, bell peppers, jalapeno peppers. You name the pepper, we probably have it and grow it. So all that to say, if you do store by, which I do store by strawberries right now, wash them.
Yeah, you mentioned the Dirty Dozen. And if you haven't heard of that, every year, I don't know who releases the list, but it's the 12 most filthy in terms of pesticides produce so that you know, like, okay, these are the ones you probably should buy organic if you can afford it, which don't even get me started on how we should all be able to afford food that hasn't been poisoned.
It's like, why is clean food with less things covering it more expensive?
Yeah.
Like,
it's crazy.
It just pisses me off so much.
As you know, that's my full algorithm is how awful and toxic everything is for us. But hot tip, apples are always top of the list. So if you're just going to buy one thing organic, make it apples because every single year they're on the list. So it's generally like bananas. Like you don't necessarily need to buy organic because they have the peel, like things that have peels. That's kind of a protective layer. You're generally okay to buy without, but Ugh, I hear you. It's nasty.
Disgusting. So KY jelly and pesticide covered produce.
You know what? There was a theme.
Not at all.
And it was strawberries. Strawberry lube, strawberry wash. That's the tea. But let's get to the real tea this week. Megan Fox recently sat down with Alex Cooper on the Call Her Daddy podcast, and she got really candid about her past marriage to Brian Austin Green, among other things. She also talked about her plastic surgery, but it was the marriage thing that really stood out. They were first linked in 2004. They tied the knot in 2010, and then they split in 2020 and divorced in 2022. They have three kids together, all boys, 10-year-old, 9-year-old, 6-year-old. She's now 37, but she was 18 when they started dating and he was 30. And she admits, I was not a great girlfriend to Brian. I'll be very honest. I was not great because I was young and really should not have been in a relationship of that level of commitment and that magnitude. She also said she did a lot of falling in love with other people when she was an actress because she was a kid. And she says that a lot of her growth and awareness came after.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Going through childbirth, she said, I do feel like karmically I was supposed to have those kids with him, of course. Brian is now engaged to Sharna Burgess from Dancing with the Stars. They just welcomed a kid together. And Megan, of course, has had this very public on and off relationship with Machine Gun Kelly. But it begs the question, what is the right age to get married if you want it to last?
Right.
What do you think?
That's a hard one because I do feel like people develop at different ages. I do think in this situation, 18 is just too young. And in most situations, I think 18 is too young, especially when you read that age difference. I don't know why I didn't realize it was so large, like 18 and 30.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but for me, when I was 18 and when I was 30, I was two completely different people. I feel like you change so much. And I also feel like at 18, you're so impressionable. So that was wild to me when you read that age gap. I do think, and listen, I got married later in life. I was in my 30s. And I think there's something to be said about knowing definitively who you are. And I do think as people, we're always evolving and changing. And I think in relationships too, you evolve and you grow and you change together, hopefully. But I think if you wait a little bit, you have a better sense of who you are because you have so much more life experience under your belt. If I had met Jason, who is 1,000 million percent my person, when I was 18 and he's 5 years older than me. So when I was 18, 19, 21, I can do math. And he was 23 and we got married. I mean, I would like to think it would have worked because I do think he's my soulmate, but I also think we've both changed so much since we were those ages.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not a guru on like when you should get married, but what worked for me is waiting a little bit until I knew more so who I was as a person and what I wanted out of a relationship and a long-lasting marriage, if that makes sense.
It makes so much sense. Andrew and I were 21 when we met one another and started dating. We didn't get married until, how old were we? Again, great at math. wow. We got married in 2017. So we were in our 30s, but we had a good decade of dating under our belt. And I will be the first one to tell you, it was not easy. And we really are completely different people today than the people we met when we were 21. And it has been a 17-year-long journey of falling in and out of love with each other, choosing each other over and over again, and re-getting to know each other, you know? And I think if you decide to commit to somebody when you are that young, you just have to be ready for the ride. And I think a lot of times you're just what works for you as a teenager, as a young 20-something, does not fit the bill in your 30s.
Totally. I will say, so I am obsessed with Jason's family. I love his parents. I love his siblings. He has three siblings and all three of them married their high school sweethearts, except for Jason.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? And they all have lasted. His younger sister recently got married and they're still very young, but his brother and his sister, I mean, they both have kids with those people, beautiful families. He has all nieces. I love all of his nieces. And so I do think it can work for some people.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting too, that she said how much she changed like after childbirth. Cause I do think that changes you a lot as well, just becoming a mother.
I think so too. I think you also, we've said this on the podcast before, but it's no longer, your choices are no longer about you. They're about your children. And so I think there is something that's probably very confronting when you have a child and you're not happy in your relationship. You think, what is the long-term impact that me not being happy in this relationship is going to have on my children? Are they going to repeat my mistakes? Which is actually something she talks about on the podcast. She says she thinks she kind of took on her mother's burdens in her own romantic relationship. So she was kind of repeating a pattern. And so maybe that's an eye-opening thing that happens, is if you're not happy going into motherhood in your relationship, all of a sudden the stakes feel that much higher.
Right. Absolutely. And again, I do think it can work, but for me, I think I changed so, so, so much. And for you and Andrew, it seemingly, even though you guys didn't get married till later, it seemingly did work because you both met so young and you dated for I mean, you guys dated for a decade.
A decade. I mean, we've been together for 17 years with a minor break in the middle, but I'll be the first one to tell you it wasn't easy. And there were definitely times where both of us would love to walk away, but we just didn't. And we're happier now than we've ever been. But, you know,
isn't that the secret to a relationship, though, is just not walking away? Because 100%. Every relationship, every marriage is going to have those ups and those downs. And we're all going to change throughout the course of our life, but it's the sticking together through all those times that I think is the true test of like a forever marriage, which I do think when you go into a marriage, you mostly think this is going to be forever, right?
Right. I do think, like, my mom got married very young. She was still in college And 10 years later, they got a divorce. And then she met my dad. But she always was very honest with my sister and I and said, I want you guys to make me two promises. Don't get married young and don't ride motorcycles. I rode a motorcycle with a boyfriend in college, so I broke that promise. But she was always very adamant that you need to experience life. You need to know yourself. Yeah. You need to commit to really loving yourself and getting to know what is important to you and what you want out of this life before you engage in a marriage. And I think that's, I would give the same advice to Dylan, like go experience life, experience different people, but like live this life to the fullest. And I think
you'll know what you want.
Yeah. And that you can, then when you are in the relationship that feels forever, mm-hmm. but you know what, I say that. And then I think like when I was 18, I felt like my 18-year-old boyfriend was forever, you know, like you just, it is kind of funny because when you're that young, you're always so romantic.
And you don't understand love either. I remember thinking my high school boyfriend was the one, and thank God. I mean, no shade to him. I won't name him, but thank God I did not end up with him. He's a fine person. I just,
I know. Pretty crazy. That love.
That puppy, innocent love. Okay. Well, let's move on to a toxic love. Ooh. Allegedly, seemingly toxic love.
Yes.
If you watch Selling Sunset or don't watch Selling Sunset, I feel like this is a really big story. And I'm a little bit irked at all the headlines because I don't feel like they explicitly explained what the F happened directly in the headline. So Christine Quinn from Selling Sunset, her husband Christian, has been accused and arrested of trying to get violent with Christine during an argument. He tried, I guess, allegedly, everything is allegedly right now, to throw a bag full of glass at her, missed her, and hit their 2-year-old son instead. 911 was called. He was taken away by police. I guess the Christine and the son ended up, she drove him to the hospital to get checked out. Things have gotten progressively messier. I guess he tried to go back to the house and violated a 7-day protective order. Yikes.
Yikes.
What do you do as a mom in that situation? Because I have a lot of thoughts.
I want to start by saying I've been fortunate enough never to be in an abusive relationship. So I say all this having never been through it. And I know strong women who have stayed in abusive relationships because it's hard to leave. So I say all this with grace, knowing that it is hard.
If you, by the way, or someone you know is going through this, please seek help.
Oh, yeah.
We should put a disclaimer.
DM us.
Phone number. DM us. We are here to help.
We're here.
Nobody should be in that situation.
Yeah. I would like to think that if I were in that position, zero tolerance, out the door, take my kid, seek help, fuck the fancy lifestyle that they've lived. I'd rather be back in my parents' house, safe with my child, knowing that they're okay and they never have to experience that again than in that household.
1,000%. I am like you. I'm so grateful to never have been in a relationship like that. And if that were me, 1,000,000%, I'm taking the kid and you're never going to see him or her again. We don't tolerate violence, violence towards the mother, violence towards the child, whether it was on purpose or accidental. Like you threw a bag of glass, allegedly, I'm gonna add allegedly,
yeah,
at these two people. It also makes me think like what was going on beforehand. Like, has this happened before? Has this kid been subject to violence? I just think it's a very icky, scary situation, and she needs to remove herself from that for the safety of her and her kid.
Yeah, I sure hope that she does. I mean, even on a lesser level, Andrew and I talk about often since becoming parents, we want to be very mindful of the tone we use with each other in front of our children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't ever want them to hear us talking poorly about one another. We want them to always hear us talking love and light about each other because we want them to seek that in their romantic relationships. But I want to protect their childhood and their naivete. And there are just things that don't need to happen in front of children. And
okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So this to me is just even unfathomable. Like the thought that it got so heated, he allegedly threw a bag of glass and it allegedly hit his child. Yeah. I mean, Andrew and I won't even elevate our voices in front of Dylan.
Yeah.
So not good. And Christine, she may be a TV villain, but you know, she's nobody, a mom, a woman, and we just hope that she gets out.
Okay. Well, from that OMG story to our OMG of the week, what do we have?
I'm loving this. There is a pledge that's going around, and I don't know if it's new or if it's been around, but it's new to me. And a lot of my friends are signing this pledge, and it's the Wait Until Eighth Pledge, which is a great initiative that just empowers parents to wait until their kids are in high school to give them a smartphone. And I love this because I think the problem we're facing now is that kids feel pressure to be in the mix and to have a phone, and all their parents are giving them phones. These kids are now, their childhood is over. And so I think the more parents that get on board, the easier it'll be to say no. Our babies are so young. But I'm sure it's top of mind. Like, even though Dylan's almost two, like, we're already thinking, like, how long can we put off giving her a phone? Do you and Jason talk about it? And like, when would you give Kaya a phone?
Yeah, I think it's something that's definitely on our minds and definitely something we don't want to do too soon. It's funny, we have a neighbor whose daughter wants to be on Snapchat. And so she's telling us, you know, all these things, and like, all the kids have Snapchat, and should I let her be on Snapchat? And I think I would sign this pledge and I would like to wait. I think in middle school, we would give a flip phone so that you can contact mom and dad whenever you need to, and we can contact you as well. I would also like there to be some sort of find my, you know,
kid.
Like how, you know, everyone in my family has like find my friends, and we can all see where each other. I don't know if that's like healthy or not, but that's what we do.
Yeah.
And so I would like there to be some sort of, so I could see where they're at, just God forbid, not because I wouldn't trust my kid, but because God forbid something happens, you want to know where they are, right?
Yeah.
And so I do like that feature, but I am all about waiting for social media, especially. I think that that's the biggest thing. And there's all these studies about how social media is causing depression and anxiety in these young kids because they're watching other people's highlight reels, and then they're feeling like they don't measure up. They're trying to grow up too soon. Like I said earlier in the podcast, there's kids, yes, they're in high school, but they're seeing pornography on all these social media apps.
Yeah.
And so I just think we need to protect our children as much and as early as possible so that they have a full, lively, healthy childhood. And I do feel like these social media apps, sure, they can be helpful sometimes. I think it's fun to like dance with your friends and do these little trends, but there's a lot of downside and like scariness to these apps. And I don't want the kids to be exposed to that too early. How do you feel?
I am just desperately trying to protect Dylan's childhood, like at all costs. Like I think the world is such a scary place right now. And I think about our childhood, like I was in junior high running around outside. Like I didn't know anything about anything, and it was beautiful. And like, we're kind of the last generation who grew up without smartphones and without like social media. Facebook didn't come out until we were in college, you know? So
when did you get your first cell phone?
So I was actually, I was thinking about this. I think I was in eighth grade, but again, it was like the Nokia.
That's what I had. It was ninth grade. I remember because the number at the time, I've since changed the phone number, but it had my birthday in it. And my parents were so excited to get this for me as a means to talk to them, really.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And it was in ninth grade.
It was fully just a means to contact my mom and dad so they could pick me up from sports practices or whatever. And for me to, I thought it was so cool to play like the snakes game, the like really analog snake game.
Or have a cool ringtone. I remember really liking No Doubt at the time. God, I'm but thinking like the Walking in Your Spiderweb song was so cool and having it as my voice message, like, sorry, I'm not home right now. I'm walking in the spiderwebs. Wow. So, so you know of me in hindsight, but like, I thought that was so cool. And that was my ringtone and my answering machine. And
You know, the average age kids are getting smartphones now is 10 and it just feels way too young. I want her to play in the grass, be in nature, have this small window of naivete because the real world is there waiting. And I just want to protect her from it. So I'm very much considering signing this pledge. It's a little scary to do it now when she's not even two, but I think it is important to just commit and just stay firm in it. So if you're interested, the website is waituntil8th.org.
Love that. I'm going to definitely take a look. Okay.
I love it.
Guys, time to talk about a mama we love. I love Peeta Murgatroyd from Dancing with the Stars. She's been so open. Both her and her husband, Max Shmirkovsky, he's also from Dancing with the Stars, have been so open about their journey to becoming parents. And they currently have two boys, Shai, who's 7, and Rio, who is 8 months. And then she was very candid about their IVF journey, especially on social media. She's currently pregnant with baby number 3 and just revealed they are expecting their third boy. I am so excited for them. But what I love about this is they have a really similar story to us. Like they did IVF and all this stuff and surprise got pregnant with this boy and their son is currently 8 months old. And so I actually think very similar to us and with Kaya, they're going to have babies very, very close together. I think almost closer together than Kaya and our daughter that we're expecting. They're going to be almost 15 months apart. I want to say they're going to be like 14 months apart, 13 or 14, which is wild, but also so exciting and what a fun season for them. So she posted the gender reveal on Instagram and said, you know, we have our third baby boy on the way. I can't believe we will have 3 boys. Max and I are beyond happy to have another buddy for Shai and Rio. We want them to be the best of friends. And we're thinking about family dinners already. It's making us laugh. Not to mention when Rio turns 1, I'll give birth to this bundle of joy a couple weeks later. So very exciting. Love her. Love following her journey on Instagram. If you guys don't follow, highly recommend. They post really funny stuff too. But 3 boys.
Prayers up. I wonder if they were going for a girl.
It does make you wonder, but I also think when you've gone through so much like loss and hardship, at least for us, all we wanted was a healthy baby.
100%.
You can't ask for anything more. It's like, I don't care if it's a boy or a girl. I just want a healthy, healthy baby.
Yep.
Because that's all that matters at the end of the day. You know,
sure. But there are people who are very passionate about going until they get XYZ.
Have you seen the videos where people are posting their gender reveal disappointment?
Oh, that breaks my heart.
That makes me sick.
That breaks my heart. Listen, if you're disappointed, keep it to yourself because now you're that now lives on the internet and your child is going to know you are pissed.
I hate that.
Are they supposed to feel?
I hate that so much.
Like when a kid is wanting a little brother, a little sister, and they're disappointed, I think those videos are hilarious. Keep posting those because I enjoy that.
Right. But, totally. That's so funny. Here's what I will say. And I don't want to speak for you, but like, I am so excited to have 2 girls because they are built-in best friends. And I think, sure, a son and a daughter can also be best friends, but as they age and get older, oftentimes there are just differences in life in terms of like things that they enjoy and like doing. And so I remember we had Melissa Ordway on the podcast and she talked about how her daughters, you know, they like to be in dance together and musical theater together. And I think you can just kind of like enjoy life a little bit more. Our girls are going to share a room eventually, which I'm so excited about. So I think there's also something to be said about having all of the same gender.
Totally. Like, I'll just say you and I are biased because we grew up with sisters that are our best friends.
Yeah.
So I know it can be, like you said, doesn't really matter, but I know how much I loved it. And so I'm excited for Dylan that she's going to get the same thing.
Yeah.
Pretty special.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. We are back every Tuesday and Friday with a new episode. Please, please, please tell your friends, spread the word. Like we say often here, motherhood is a sisterhood, and we appreciate you.